Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word love is not only romantic, but also especially powerful. All people need love. We need to love and be loved. But today's society has confused love with sex, money, or gifts. The result is that not only are many people unable to understand love, but they are also even afraid of love because they have never seen it done well. Instead, they have experienced all kinds of blows in the name of love. But even with all the counterfeit love, all the misunderstanding about love and abuses in the name of love we have, the world still needs love. And it is not just a word, love, that we need. We need a true connotation of love. Not only do we need to see love, hear love, feel love, and experience love in our lives, we need to know how to pass it on to others. For the Greeks of Paul's time, love had different meanings in different contexts. So they use other words to express some of these meanings. For example, they use the word philos to talk about the kind of deep love that friends and family members had for each other. The word eros is used to describe romantic love and its sexual passion and desire. Almost all the songs we hear today are about the eros concept of love. And this word does not appear in the New Testament. They also use another word, agape, to describe love. Agape love is willing to sacrifice one's rights, even to lay down one's life. The word agape describes the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us that was revealed on the cross. Thus, the word agape stands for unconditional love, choosing to love another person regardless of how you feel. You cannot have a friendship love or romantic love for your enemy, but you can have agape love. The main thing about agape love is not a feeling, but an action, the fruit of the Spirit. The word Paul uses when he describes love in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is agape love. Agape love is so deep that it cannot be described or explained in a short word. So Apostle Paul had to use 15 verbs in verses from 4 to 7 to explain what love is and what love is not. Our English Bible changed some verbs in adjectives, but in Greek, they are all verbs. In verses 1 to 3, Paul shows that nothing we say, we have, or we do is of any value without love. And in verses from 4 to 7, he demonstrates the selfless character of love. So I preach to you this morning under this theme, Paul's exposition of the characteristics of love. And under this theme, we have 4 points to share. The first point, what love is. A second point, what love is not. A third place, the connection of love with truth. A last point, the power of love. Now the first point, what love is. First, in verses 4a, Paul begins with two verbs that positively describe what love is. He says, love is patient and kind. According to the original Greek, the correct translation of the word patient here should be long-suffering. We all know that short-tempered or quick-tempered. What that is. But in contrast, patience is long-suffering, good-tempered. Please note, patience in this context does not mean a good-tempered one that can be endured without being irritated or angry in a situation. For example, one needs to patiently wait for traffic to flow, for summer holidays, for our recovery from sicknesses. Paul here is talking about patience with people, not with the circumstances you find yourself in. Paul is talking about the patience you need to have when dealing with other people. With this patience, you can do a lot before you get angry. You are able to endure for a long time before becoming agitated and irritated. Are you a patient, good-tempered person? Unfortunately, we have to admit that we all lack patience. We all get angry quickly and do not have a good temper from time to time. The reason we lack patience and are impatient with others is that we lack agape love. Agape love is the willingness to sacrifice oneself for the progress or happiness of another person. Impatience is concerned with how a particular moment affects you. It's not a focus on how to seize the moment to love another person. When your coworker is not living up to expectations at work, when your wife is not meeting expectations at home, love looks at how best to help your coworker, your children, or your wife without getting annoyed that their failure to meet standards is affecting you. If someone is late for an appointment with you, love will trust a reasonable explanation. Even if there isn't, love will not sit there and be irritated. Impatience will lead to stress and anger and possible passive aggressive comments when the person walks in. Love is to be constant in enduring when those around you continue their annoying behavior. Looking for ways to serve them. Impatience can lead to angry word, a condescending attitude, or avoidance. When you are wronged or violated, love does not want to fight back as quickly as possible, but is willing to endure. To endure for a long time while being hurt and insulted. Although love has the ability to retaliate, it chooses to delay revenge and anger. In fact, from agape love, we see the attributes of our God. He is God who is patient and kind and does not get angry quickly. It is a passive characteristic side of love. That is, God restrains his wrath in the face of man's disobedience. But the other side of love is its active aspects, that is, kind. Kindness is the active characteristics is the active aspect, that is kind. Kindness is an active characteristic of love, something that love always seeks. Whether it is opposed or attacked, somehow or not, this dynamic characteristic of love means that love constantly strives to be kind to people and show kindness. The world is often not a kind place. People say and do too many things that hurt people. Our world needs more kindness. Christ is the model of kindness. His kindness is the basis for his command to love our enemies and to be kind to those who hate us. Therefore, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Your kindness to others does not depend on their attitude towards you. Your kindness to others should not be about what you get out of it. Instead, our kindness to others is to be rooted in the kindness we had experienced from Christ toward us when we were unkind and hostile towards God. The characteristics of love describes the attributes of God himself. First of all, what love does not do, God does not do. He is not eager to strike back. He is not easily angered. But love also shows us that God does things that love also does. This brings us to the second point, what love is not. Paul describes the negative characteristics of love from verse 4b to verses 5, using seven verbs according to the original text. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own. It's not irritable and resentful. Let's look like the first three words in this description. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. First, love does not envy. Envy is an intensely colored word. It means to desire passionately and has both positive and negative meanings in the Bible. When the word envy is applied positively, it has to do with guarding one's honor. For example, God is a jealous God who commands his people to worship only him. When applied negatively, envy is associated with greed and selfishness, a vice of sinful desires. It has a disastrous effect on human relationships. Think about it. Cain was jealous of Abel and killed him. Jacob's sons were jealous of Joseph and sold him into slavery. And in the context of Corinthians, in the book of Corinthians, some Corinthian church members were jealous of the spiritual gifts of others. We can be jealous of many things, a person's position in life, possessions, or even appearance. Jealousy. Jealousy can be found everywhere. None of us are immune to it. It can strike any one of us at any time. But if we are honest, we may have to admit that some people too want to be envied and enjoy being envied. The luxury product advertised and marketed are designed to create a jealousy in those who do not have specific products. That's why some people want to buy top of the line of luxury cars, beachfront mansions, LV bags, Rolex watches, and bells and perfumes of Hermes and other international famous brands of clothes, pants, shoes, and even hats. And they dress head to toe in an international designer outfit. People who buy these luxury items know that having them shows others how wealthy the owner is. Jealousy is opposite of love. In love, there is no competition with each other, no envy of other people, much less the desire to be envied. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, God wants us that all toils and skills in the work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. It is also vanity and a striving after wind. Next, let's look at the phrase, love does not boast. The word boast literally means windbag. And Paul used it to portray a person as a braggart, a boastful person. It means a person who talks about himself constantly by showing off his rhetoric to impress others, eager to gain the applause of others, and eager to be seen as a superior. Such a person always looks for what he can get from others rather than what he can give to them. In many cases, it is better for you to say nothing at all, because the careless talk leads to trouble. This humorous story is about a tortoise who wanted to spend the winter in California, but he knew he could not go that far. So he convinced the two Canadian geese to help him. They each hold one end of rope while he clung to it in the middle with his pincer-like beak. The flight went well, until someone on the ground looked up in admiration and asked, "Who on the earth came up with that great idea?" The tortoise could not refuse the opportunity to take credit, and he opened his mouth and shouted, "I came with this." Of course, you know what happened. Sometimes, you see, brothers and sisters, it's a good idea to shut the mouth and open the eyes. True love does not engage in self-aggrandizement. Jesus Christ did not self-aggrandize or put on show. Love does not say a lot of things and is not self-righteous. Our Lord humbled himself and was obedient unto his death on the cross. In Gospel Mark chapter 10, verse 44, he says there, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He is a supreme example of humility. Paul said, "Love is not arrogant. To be arrogant means to be proud. Pride is an overestimation of one's own importance, ability, and achievement. It breeds a critical and judgmental spirit, an impatience with others, and an unwillingness to act kindly. Pride is the act of exaggerating yourself in your own eyes until you think you are better than everyone else." Some of the Corinthians were arrogant. Many of them were proud of the knowledge they possessed. However, Paul set them straight with the words, "Knowledge leads to arrogance, but love alone edifies. Without love, knowledge degenerates into disgusting arrogance. With love, knowledge is a precious treasure. Pride is puffered up selfishness. Well, love is true humility. Pride has no love, and love has no pride. In fact, the two are mutually exclusive. The next pair of verbs tells us that love is not rude. It does not insist on its way. The word rude here in Greek refers to dishonorable behavior. That is inconsistent with the established rules of etiquette. Paul refers to inappropriate, improper, and improper behavior in any situation. Love cares enough for people that it seeks to respect certain social customs and expectations. Being courteous is love in small things. Decent behavior is not limited to words and attitudes. It also involves one's clothing and appearance. Proper dress, neat appearance, compliment a person who desires to please others. For love extends to all aspects of one's demeanor. Indecent dress, offensive language, and disrespect for others are examples of disrespect and conflict with love. So love does not dress, speak, or act contrary to general standards and is offensive to others. The law, love your neighbor as yourself, requires that we behave in a courteous and gentlemanly manner. Next, Paul says love does not insist on its own way. In other words, love is not selfish. It is not putting yourself before others. Paul is saying that love does not seek its personal private preferences without considering what might be good for others. We may not neglect ourselves, but neither should we pursue our own interest to the detriment of others. A famous English saying, you should love people and use things, but not the other way around. It means that you should use things because you love people, but not use people because you love things. One of the reasons that man is created is to be loved. Things are created to be used. The world is in chaos because things are being loved and man is being used. Love does not use people to gain its own benefit. Love takes the attitude of Jesus' service to people. Now we come to the last pair of verbs in verse 5. Love is not irritable or resentful. In Greek text, here is that love is not irritable and does not count up wrongdoings. The word irritable refers to a person's temper that is easily provoked to become explosive. But love does not have an instant temper. However, some people put everyone around them on thin ice. They are prone to anger. A little thing does not go their way, and boom, they will use their fiery temper to intimidate, to punish you. When you confront them, they will make excuse and say, oh, sure, I have a bad temper, but I let it all out, and it'll be fine for a few minutes. The same is true of bombs. It can cause significant damage in a short period of time. However, even short-temper bombs can leave a lot of damage behind. especially if you throw such bombs often. Your temper is a sign of what is on your mind. When your terrible temper explodes, you are actually unloving. Love does not count up wrongdoings. Count up is a counting term used for number crunch. Love does not count up wrongdoings. Refers to the fact that God does not impute to us our sins, but righteousness of Christ. Love does not count faults or hold a grudge until every iniquity has been atoned for. It does not try to get the upper hand by reminding the other person of past mistakes. Love is forgiveness. A married man said to his friend, "You know, every time my wife and I have a conflict argument, he gets all historical." His friend said, "Historical? You don't mean hysterical, do you?" "No, I mean historical." Every time he would reenact every single wrong things I did and said during our entire marriage history, including the courtship. This is the keeping score. You are counting your husband's transgressions. This is not love. Love does not keep track of what has been suffered, nor does it consider what has been suffered, impute evil, or worry about what has been heard. But unfortunately, many people keep tracking of the insult they have suffered, and they often replay the past injustice in their mind, like watching a video, and do not want to forgive others. You know what? They dwell on it. They live in it. They stew in it. And they let the past shape their present and their future. As a result, they cannot let go of themselves, and their days are miserable. While love can have a bad memory of mistakes made by others, but every time when such a memory enters the mind, love will quickly hit the delete button. Love will say, "I will put it in the past. Let the past be forever history. I will not bring it up again." This leads us to the third point, the connection of love with the truth. Paul says in verse 6 that love, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice with truth. This statement describes the relationship between love and truth. The phrase "does not rejoice at wrongdoings" means that love does not delight in evil. It does not rejoice in injustice or the temporary triumph of evil, nor does it take pleasure in hearing evil discussed publicly. Love never delights in hearing bad news about another person. Love never say, "Well, they finally got what they deserved." Love never takes pleasure in hearing that a believer, a sister, brother has, or a brother has fallen into sin. Love does not like to deliver bad news. But however, in today's society, bad news sells well, travels extreme fast. So in grocery stores, tabloids are placed next to the checkpoint counter. People are eager to buy because they're eager to hear the latest gossip about some celebrities. True love is not like that. It rejects cheap gossip and unconfirmed rumors. But even if the rumors are proven to be true, love does not take pleasure in the misfortune of others. In contrast, love rejoices in the truth. as long as there is a truth. Love rejoices in it, even if it is a hard pill to swallow. If someone's child sins, the genuine loving parents will be more content to punish their children than if their child's sin goes unpunished. It does not mean that it is a pleasant act for the parents to punish the child, but it is better to see the iniquity punished than to let it continue. Love is sensitive to confrontation and correction precisely because it cares deeply and it knows the sin destroys. This is a relation between love and truth. Love rejoices in the truth. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, who was full of love, wrote, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Love does not lead us to iniquity, for love despises iniquity and delights in the truth. Therefore, agape love loves truth, and truth loves agape love. This leads us to the last point, the power of love. Paul says in verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let's briefly examine each word phrase. First, love bears four things. The word bear here in the original Greek means to cover like a roof. Love has the power to withstand the storms of life. Peter writes that love covers many sins. Love is a virtue that puts a cloak of silence over the unpleasant things that others do. Love does not silence others with jokes, sarcasm, or puts downs. Love upholds the character of the other person as far as possible within the limits of truth. Love does not deliberately expose and emphasize the faults of others. Love is protective. Secondly, love believes all things. Believing everything does not mean that a loving Christian lacks wisdom and insight and is therefore easily deceived by every falsehood. On the contrary, love is always wise and discerning, trying to see things in the best light. Don't be gullible, but have a confidence in people and choose to believe the best in them. Love believes that other person is innocent until proved guilty, not guilty until proven innocent. That way, if there is a problem, love will not immediately jump to accuse the other person. Trust is expressed by not cross-examining the other person on every detail at work. Trust in your co-workers in society. Trust your friends and in family. Trust in your children. Trust in your spouse. Love hopes all things. This phrase, of course, implies that Christian has complete confidence in God that he will fulfill his divine plan even when all indicators seem to point in a different direction. Paul introduced hope here, which is the second of the three things, faith, hope, and love. Because love leads to faith and hope. Love is the greatest virtue of these three. When a Christian cultivates love and faith but neglects hope, he will fail and falter in his spiritual life. Hope is patient and does not give up easily, even on hopeless things. Hope fights repeatedly in the difficult path of life, waiting for the positive result that may eventually be realized. The love of hope The love of hope in all things is shown in a friend who does not make you feel like you are screwed up forever when you are screwed up. This love shows up in parents who acknowledge their children's failure but do not see them as the end result. It's a love that persists. It's a love of hope. A love that never gives up. Love that does not dwell on the past problems, but looks forward to the future with faith and determination. Hope is never focused on oneself, but always on God in Jesus Christ. The fourth item, love endures all things. The word endure is a military term, means a warrior endures resisting the enemy's attack. It means to persevere during trials, to persevere amid difficulties. It implies that love is still there to persist. It is not a passive, stoic attitude. It's a vibrant, victorious spirit and a determination to persevere to the end and to win. There is an epidemic among Christians today of jumping off the train, running away under challenging situations. Because I don't like what is happening in the church, or I don't like a particular person, I go to another church. I give up because I had problems or disagreements in my marriage and was tired of fighting for reconciliation. Sure, brothers and sisters, idolatry is a legal ground for divorce. But often one party uses other party's idolatry as an excuse to jump out of the marriage when both parties have hurt each other repeatedly in many years already. I'm not minimizing the seriousness of the sin of idolatry. It seriously undermines the trust between spouses and causes all kinds of problems in the marriage. I'm not saying it is easy to fix. Broken marriage takes a lot of hard work to rebuild, a brick at a time. But God's best solution to problems in marriage or disagreements in the church is to forgive one another and to work to rebuild one's marriage, rebuild relationships with others, not to give up and jump out of a car and run away. Love endures everything. It can continue to persevere in the face of rejection and opposition. It endures in the face of insult and hurts. Love perseveres because it is unconditional. It chooses to love others regardless of itself. This is what love does. It is selfless. And it's entirely about building up others. Without this love, Paul says, we are nothing. Brothers and sisters, let's use Jesus. Let's use Jesus instead of love as a subject of our text from verse 4 to 7. These verses read, would be like this. Jesus is patient, is kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Jesus does not insist on his own way. Jesus is not irritable. He does not count up wrongdoings. Jesus does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And they say, if we want to love others with agape love, we need to reflect on Jesus more in our lives. We need to focus on Jesus who died for us. Stand beside him. Let his love fill your heart. If you draw near to Jesus, then his love will begin to fill your heart. And then you will find yourself filled with a supernatural love for others. Your life will start to change as Jesus takes the center place in your heart. Amen.